Welcome, Pioneer. Welcome home. Welcome to the podcast where you hear original ideas and perspectives, where credentialed journalists do the work to understand what they are actually talking about, instead of just regurgitating ideas they heard other people say. You are in a safe place, so breathe. Close your eyes and feel the relief as you breathe in. Notice any areas of tightness in your body. If you feel tightness, ask why. Be curious. Maybe you consume some slop on social media and it's got you feeling a bit jarred. Maybe someone said something to you. Whatever it is, identify it. Breathe. You're safe now, and the slop can't hurt you here. Breathe. Breathe. The pioneer journey is tough, and sometimes you just need to stop to breathe. Do you still feel that tightness in your body? Has it released, or has it now moved into a different area? Whatever the case is, notice it. The body is like the dashboard on a car. If there is something wrong, it will let you know in the same way a warning light will let you know something needs to be addressed. Breathe. Notice. Breathe. In the same way you take care of your family by listening to 40 hours of Bitcoin podcasts a week in order to be informed enough to understand how to properly navigate the fourth turning, you must take care of your body. Breathe. All will be well because you are willing to work your ass off to make sure that's the case. While the plebs are tying themselves up in knots, you are on the frontier building a better future for yourself and your family. Your children will grow up having parents that have self-respect and dignity, who value curiosity and creativity. Breathe. You are on the frontier, and sometimes the frontier is dangerous, but you have chosen this path not because it's easy, but because it is beautiful. Breathe. Think about that project you are building. Think about the progress you have made and are going to make. Think about who you were just a year ago and how much you have grown and learned since then. Breathe. The weight of the plebs' social pressure campaigns and endless sea lioning has no power over you. Breathe. There is no Bitcoin University on the frontier. Breathe. You are home. Welcome to the podcast that understands you. This is a pleb slop free zone. Now take a cigarette out, light it, and remember to breathe as we start the show.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome to this edition of the Bugle Weekly. Richard Greaser. Today I'm joined, as usual, by Ron Palmer. And I just wanted to start out the episode, and I want to address the social unrest that's happening in the United States right now. All across the country, there are boomers. They're in the streets, and they are protesting at this No Kings protest. And, you know, there's some young people too, but mostly it's old people. As people that are upset about Donald Trump having mean tweets. They've gone from mean tweets to psychopathic tweets. They're getting more and more unhinged, but they're mad about the tweets either way or the true social post. You got people that are upset at the idea of their entitlements getting taken away. You got people that are just being fed pleb slop and they're upset about it. The pleb slop is winding them up. So they're in the streets and they're mad. And part of the reason why they're mad is because what is being shown to them is a clear mirror of what the United States is. They're seeing it through President Trump. President Trump is a mirror of the psychopathy and the just blatant corruption the United States government has been a part of since the inception. This is not a new phenomenon. The United States has been pillaging the rest of the world, pillaging their own people, the government. And they've done it successfully, and they sold people this bag of goods, that it was something different, that these wars that were fought that killed millions of people, Vietnam, the Iraq War, all these wars, they said, we're fighting for your freedom. We're fighting for your retirement, your ability to retire on Social Security and be able to gamble your checks away on slot machines, for having timeshares, for having all of these things. And that fantasy that these people are going out there and they're fighting for your freedom is just being completely deleted. And these people are freaking out because they want that fantasy. They want that promise of safety, that if they just sacrifice their children to Moloch, it's going to be safe. And so these people are out there and they're upset and they're protesting in the streets. They want somebody in charge that screws them real hard, but says it nicely and softly. They want the decorum of when they're getting fucked by these guys. And that's not what's happening right now. It's not what's happening right now. And not only that, it's the fourth turning and things are difficult economically, but life isn't fair, folks. And this is what these people need to come to the conclusion of and understanding, is that life isn't fair. It's all a fucking scam and people are scamming you. And there's two ways to respond to that. There's probably more than two ways, but for the simplicity of this, I'm going to give you two options. One is to go to the altar of Moloch and sacrifice your children, look the other way and pretend like nothing's happening, and just hope that when they fuck you, they fuck you nicely. And that's not too hard. That's one option. Close your eyes, pretend like nothing's going on, pretend like it's not a big deal that the pedophiles are telling you where you can't smoke. And the other option, which in my opinion is the preferred option, is you don't play by their fucking stupid rules of either having to be a sheep or a conqueror and a predator where you go and just subjugate people. You go and find your friends, people that have morals, and you stand with them and you collaborate with them. You don't tolerate this bullshit psychopathy, but to the people out there that are protesting right now as a result of consuming pleb slob, that think they're educated, the ones that are so fucking stupid that they'll sit and listen to Bernie Sanders when he talks and think he's a serious person, they are not serious people. And spending time consumed by the KFAB is not going to be a good strategy. It's a waste of time. But folks, things are getting crazy. Gold is ripping. Rod Palmer, how you doing today?
I think you were on a nice long monologue there, and you summed it up perfectly, which is you can't reason with pleb slop. No matter how much you educate and explain and how much context you try to provide, you just can't reason with pleb slop. It's not, because they're not trying to be reasonable. That's the point. You can't reason with somebody who's not trying, who's doing everything they can to avoid being a reasonable person arguing in good faith.
Well, it's not even whether they're arguing in good faith or not, but if you're just regurgitating people that aren't arguing in good faith, you're essentially furthering a bad faith argument. These people, the pleb slop consumers are just amplifiers of the pleb slop dishers.
Right. It's like a signal boost. It's that they're relaying the slop. They say they don't want to relay spam. They don't want to relay non-monetary, but they have no problem relaying slop.
It's pretty brutal. I mean, one of the things that I was talking with you before this is the lack of subversive music we have right now.
Right. When was the last time somebody made subversive music? People talk about Rage Against the Machine. They were subversive in the 90s, or they were portrayed as such. But now they're at like the No Kings protests, right? Same guy. So it's part of the mainstream now. It's not subversive. But when was the last time can subversive music be a platinum album? I guess I'm trying to frame the conversation a little bit about this. Like, you're worried, what will you even mean right now? What that even means? What the definition of that word even is right now?
Well, I would argue, you know, when I think of subversive music, I think of like somebody like Bob Dylan. You know, in the peak of subversive music in the United States. And it's kind of been trending downwards. It didn't completely fall off, and it had resurgences through the years. Like in many ways, the rap was very subversive. Punk rock, which followed the, you know, the 60s and 70s anti-war music boom. I guess Cardi B is a form of subversive music, if you think about it, but it might not be subversive in the way that you want it to be.
Cardi B is definitely subversive to Ben Shapiro. Like that is, it's a vector, right? I mean, think about music, which was very much not subversive in its time, maybe even considered patriotic in its time, which would be, I mean, I can think of maybe one of the most subversive artists today who was not in his prime, Toby Keith. Could you name a more subversive artist right now than Toby Keith?
I would say the Dixie Chicks are more subversive.
They were in their time, absolutely, and they got canceled for it. But now, I think that they would be at the Grammys. I think they are still celebrated in hindsight at the Grammys.
Like the popular pleb slop thing to be upset about right now, as far as war-wise, is Gaza. You know, whenever Greta Thunberg is on the beat on something, you know, she's the queen of pleb slop. Like, she is definitely the fiat queen of pleb slop.
Right, like that is, she is a great example of the dangers of, like, raising your kid on pleb slop. Like, if you raised, you know, your daughter on pleb slop that way, like, that's what she turns out. Like, that's the outcome. That's the end product of a life built on pleb slop.
I mean, I would argue that Toby Keith was pleb slop. He was dishing out pleb slop to get the American people to think that the U.S. government should invade Iraq.
It's all about moderation, right? Pleb slop and moderation. It's like drinking alcohol. At the end of the day, ethanol is poison. It's bad for your body. Every time you drink it, your liver loses a few more cells. Your brain loses a few more cells. Your decisions become questionable. But it can be enjoyed in moderation. It does bring relief and stress, and it does bring together people. Having your own good social times is a social lubricant. Pleb slop can be a social lubricant, absolutely. But it just should be enjoyed and moderated. You don't want to show up to the meetup with somebody who just absolutely mainlines and just overdoes it with pleb slop. And it's just an absolute nightmare. By the end of the night, they're fighting with everybody because, depending on which version and node they're running, because they've just been, they're just overdosed on Plepslop. And it ends up being a nightmare for everybody. You don't want to let them go home by themselves. They might hurt themselves or somebody else. Let's just moderate it, folks.
Well, aged Plepslop is a little bit different. So, like, you know, Toby Keith is definitely aged Plepslop. And it stood the test of time, and it's a little bit different. You know, it's different when you're consuming Plepslop in the moment as it's breaking. Just trying to manufacture consent for a stupid war versus, you know, looking at it retrospectively, because it becomes kind of an iconic part of American history when you think of when you listen to Toby Keith today and you listen to the song Red, White, and Blue, and you think of 9/11, you think about this defining, like, the Plepslop that defined that moment in American history. It's almost a history lesson going back and consuming the old various forms of Plepslop that defined, because that's the reality, is Plepslop does define different points in history. And we're going to see it. Like, what we're watching in real time right now, folks, is the competition between different Plepsloppers to see who can create the defining Plepslop for this moment in history. That's what these Bitcoin podcasters are competing for. They want to have that Toby Keith moment.
There's room for more than one. Like, think about Nickelback, Creed, Imagine Dragons, Usher, Lil Jon. It's you getting older, right? When you're some of your favorite music, when you're in high school and you hear it on the classic hits radio station, for playing Linkin Park on the classic hits radio station, like, man, I feel old. But it's the same way with Plepslop. You know what I mean? It's like, if there is classic Plepslop in culture, it's like the nostalgia for the 90s. Like, that we're going to have a nostalgic, you know, like Surge. Surge was Plepslop, but it made a comeback. It's awesome. Chumbawamba, I get knocked down, but I get up again. And every Bare Naked Ladies, just classic hits, Plepslop.
So here's a question I have for you. This might be controversial. So in your opinion, was Eminem just someone that devolved into Plepslop, or was he always Plepslop?
I think Eminem is a great example of this. I think Beatles is another good example of this. Nirvana, Oasis, even to some extent at this day and age, like Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, they were absolutely subversive. In hindsight, it seems like they probably challenged a lot of things. I don't know. It's so far away that it's hard to know the value of it at its time. But, like, over time, they became kind of like overdone. And it got commercialized by its fans and people who came late to the parade. And they turned it into Plepslop. Or they used it to sell Plepslop, you know what I mean? So Eminem didn't start that way.
Yeah.
But I think the people who run the music industry definitely saw the potential to turn Eminem into Plepslop when they signed him to the record deals.
Well, I think one of the challenges, so you think he devolved into Plepslop. He initially wasn't.
I think that he achieved, or, you know, the music, the record label's ultimate goal for him was to become Plepslop. I think he had the potential and he reached it. I wouldn't make it negative. I would say that he reached his potential. He was outspoken success, or, you know, something like that.
I think
overachiever.
I think there's very few people. I think what it is a lot of these guys, they've got one shot in life. You got just like the Lose Yourself song by Eminem. You only got one shot. You better not miss the chance to, or whatever it is.
You got to lose yourself in the Plepslop.
Dude, Lose Yourself is the ultimate Plepslop anthem. like the pleb sloppers, when they wake up in the morning, they're bouncing up and down in their bathroom, blasting Lose Yourself, looking to themselves in the mirror. They put on their wife beater. They got their maniac silver chain out. They're just jumping up and down, like, you know, spinning the bars of the album. This is what I expect Optimus Fields does in the morning before he gets ready to spew some slop on Simply Bitcoin.
You know Rustin does.
Absolutely.
He does like the American Psycho, like the beginning. He's like doing his push-ups, his sit-ups. He's like doing his facial cream. He's like putting on his supreme hoodie, and he's like, all right, let's lose ourselves in the pleb slot.
Yeah. Nico, BTC Sessions. They're trying to get Mike to do it at Simply Bitcoin. He's like on the edge.
Mike is one of those guys who has tremendous potential to become pleb slot.
Yeah.
To make pleb slot.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're trying to define by saying subversive music is that people come along and they shift the Overton window in a notable way. They have enough cultural impact and relevancy that they are able to shift the window. And I think the problem is of why so many of these people devolve into pleb slop is because if you make it and you shift the window, then what do? Because the window has shifted to you, and now you're not on the outside. Now you're not subversive. You're not edgy. You're not. So you devolve into pleb slop. Now, the only way to prevent that from happening is being so far out of the Overton window, in my opinion.
Staying on the frontier.
Because
the frontier keeps moving. If you stop and don't keep going with the frontier, something to pioneer, you become bogged down in the pleb slot.
Yeah. But the problem is if people are being genuine, and they get the Overton window to shift to them, they're still themselves. They're very rarely do they, you know, change, or if they change, then people just don't like them anymore. You know what I mean? But I feel like if you're too far out of the Overton window and you never convince everybody to shift over to you, you still might have some success, but you're not going to be platinum. You know what I mean?
Well, we're right now, it's gotten to the point where all the perspectives, all the stories, all the propaganda, all the spin, we've heard it all at this point. And now, like, the only subversive thing now is telling the truth.
It's the most subversive.
Right, exactly.
But that's always what subversive through history, is telling the truth. It's not a new phenomenon. It's just, it feels like a new phenomenon because so few people are doing it right now.
And that's why headlines are so important. Announcements. Because so many people make announcements, but the only ones, you have to be able to find which ones are telling the truth. Everybody claims they're telling the truth. You have to find out which ones really are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, like, why people are so upset at Donald Trump right now is he's fucking telling the truth. He's just so blatant about it. You know, he's just like, hey, I have a complete disdain for these people, or like, I'm a complete psychopath, like, and I enjoy celebrating like myself murdering people. Like, let's put out some, like, you know, really crazy footage. And let's put some gnarly memes out. Like, he's telling the truth. All these other politicians felt the exact same way and did the exact same things. And it's so brilliant. Maybe this is an example of blockchain fixing things, right? The transparency of the corruption. Because all these politicians have been doing insider trading for a long time. Trump's insider trading his meme coin, Barron's Insider Trading, and it's all viewable on various blockchains.
It's the least, it's the most disgusting that anybody's ever seen. But in reality, it's the least dishonest. It's like the least abhorrent. It's the most transparent. It's the most honest.
Yeah.
And that's what's, it's a mirror too. Like you talked about a mirror, because think of like Tether. People just, for, you know, right or wrong reasons, they have a certain negative feeling about Tether. But it is like, it's like a TDS, Tether Derangement Syndrome. They just don't seem, they don't have the same feeling about using a dollar cash to buy something at the store. But all Tether is a mirror of the dollar system, the banking system. It just changes the logo and tricks people and makes them think it's different. And some people are naively don't see the difference. And some people see too much of a difference, but it's just a different perspective on the truth.
Well, here's the difference at the end of the day, which is really interesting. So, you know, like a lot of Bitcoin people, we were talking about this on last week about people wasting all their time attacking the shit coins. The shit coins are the same exact thing as the entire fiat system, but without all of the legitimacy given to it by old institutions being around it. It's as naked and blatantly stupid and as much of a scam as anything else. But JP Morgan and Schwab and, you know, all the Citigroup, they're probably going to at some point. They're going to bring that legitimacy to it. But, you know, Pelosi insider trading, doing all the bullshit, and every other politician, you know, all the bullshit corruption with Biden and Burisma, you know, all that bullshit in Ukraine. It's the exact same thing as Trump doing it on a shitcoin, but where it's more blatant. As you know, Solana is just really dumb, and it doesn't have the legitimacy of the institutions around it. The Epstein client list hasn't signed off on it yet. When you went to college and you got your degree, your professor wasn't telling, you know, trying to manufacture this fantasy of legitimacy that the system had.
Well, yeah, this is where it all comes due. In the fourth turning, is about the institutions, the stories, the legitimacy, the levers of legitimacy crumble and change. They change hands, or they have to evolve to survive. And by bringing in Dogecoin and shit coins and trying to make them legitimate, by what everything's happened, like the president of the United States is shilling meme coins. It's putting the legitimacy of the two institutions side by side, and it's making you realize what you just said. The whole system is a scam. The very nature that they are trying to legitimize this and then wrap it in the compliant, regulated, securitized model that they are going to use to sell it to you so they can track your taxes. It's all a big scam, and this is when these levers of legitimacy will start to, they lose the legitimacy becomes lost.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if Vitalik or, you know, whoever was running these chains, if they passed my HODL tax proposal that I submitted for Bitcoin, if one of these guys that runs these chains, or there was some sort of consensus model in Bitcoin where you were taxed, where just little bits of your holdings were taken from you, like people would lose their minds. But they don't lose their minds when the Epstein client list does it via the IRS. When taxes are withheld on every W-2 paycheck that you earn, and you go to the grocery store and you have to pay taxes, like people for cigarettes, people don't freak out about that. But what is the difference between the two? It's all the institutional legitimacy that's brought to it, this collective psychosis of this behavior being appropriate, the detachment from reality. I mean, what do you expect from a society that doesn't smoke cigarettes or listen to 40 Hours of Bitcoin podcast? They're out there in the streets. The No Kings boomers are out there in the streets. And what are they yelling about? They're yelling about more shit getting taken from you. So they would be the ones right now, you know, you think about the Knott's first core debate, like 20 years from now, the types of things that people are going to be arguing about. Will the plebs have turned Bitcoin into a proof of stake system? And would they be screaming in the streets that the HODL tax needs to be raised higher? Michael Saylor has too much Bitcoin. We need to HODL tax him. Bernie Sanders is up there screaming, there shouldn't be any Bitcoin millionaires.
Yeah, you should not be able to own a million Bitcoin, even if you're Michael Saylor, even if you discover digital energy. It's, you kind of move into this crazy change that's happening. And is Plebslop holding Bitcoin down? Is that why gold is ripping? Is gold doesn't have any Plebslop attached to it?
Gold has a fuck ton of Plebslop.
Explain.
Peter Schiff is, explain the gold Plebslop. You listen to any AM radio station, and they're just throwing boomer slop out, trying to get you to invest in gold, to invest in bullion, to invest in paper gold, everywhere. You go on all these podcasts that aren't Bitcoin podcasts, and there's like three things that they're trying to sell you right now. Some sort of supplement. Gold, or actually four, like tax relief, like law firms that'll help you fight against the IRS. Okay. And the fourth one is our VPNs. I forgot what number I'm on, but it's gold. They're shilling gold on all these fiat podcasts right now. The slop is relentless.
Oh my gosh. So I think that's the problem. That is... We thought that all the boomers were buying the ETF. We thought the boomers were buying paper Bitcoin, perhaps, you know, or we thought the boomers were DCAing on River and Swan like we told them to. And we assumed they were because they seemed kind of happy and they seemed like they were hopped up on Plebslop. So how could they not? And they were listening to all their podcasts, all the things they see on TV were about just pretty much the same thing, avoiding your taxes, hating the IRS, and number go up technology, but they were consuming gold slop. And we were just consuming Bitcoin plus slop. And now the boomers have been hyped up October. They're buying gold and they're not buying the ETF like we thought.
You ready for my controversial take?
Yeah.
I think the gold pleb sloppers and the Bitcoin pleb sloppers are on the same team. They want similar goals.
They hate each other more than anybody.
Well, they're competing with each other over whose bags get pumped the most. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Like the Bitcoin people don't necessarily want Bitcoin to be the primary thing because they think it's better than it. Like, sure, you've heard it on every podcast. People compare the qualities of Bitcoin and gold. But at the end of the day, the most basic quality that it's being used for, both of them right now, that's really important for people is a store of value that isn't a corporate meme stock scam or a Solana meme coin. That's the primary value when everything's breaking down is a store of value to be able to walk away and get on the Titanic of sorts. So, you know, these people that are buying both of these assets are trying to do the same thing. And they're having the same effect. Now, sure, the gold people are underperforming, but they're doing a lot better than their peers. especially in the most recent weeks. But they're literally on the same team. And I think there's a question of what's the goal here? Is the goal to have people that can afford houses, afford to be productive members of society and work hard, be able to save, be able to raise their children and focus on that, to have some sort of financial stability? Or is the goal to have everybody saying there's no second best?
So you're essentially echoing Lawrence Lepard's message. I don't know if you noticed, but Lawrence Lepard was actually like in the X trending in like where they had a story and like a curated set of tweets about it. But it was just a list of Lawrence Lepard telling all the gold bud slot farmers to fuck off and to stop belittling Bitcoiners and plebs. And they were all in this fight together. And that he thought both sides needed to see the value in the situation. So your team, Lepard.
Well, I'm just analyzing what these guys are doing. Lepard is trying to unite the pleb sloppers because he is a pleb slopper. He loves.
He's been, before there was pleb slop, before there was a term for it anyway, you know, which it was doomer slop, and doomer slop goes back to, I mean, the 80s, the 70s, it's like the death of the dollar system. It's not backed by gold anymore. Like those guys have been dealing in doomer slop for decades. And who knows it better? Who could tell you that two sides are on the same team with a better perspective and a lower time preference horizon than old gold bug like Larry?
Yeah, it's pretty wild when you go back and listen to old conspiracy theory stuff that people are into. You remember peak oil?
I do remember peak oil. Yeah, we're running out.
Climate change, that was a form of doomer slop for sure.
The hole in the ozone layer back in the late 80s, early 90s, we're burning all in the ozone layer.
I think the world should have ended like 3 decades ago when they first started predicting the end of the world was coming at the end of the decade because of some sort of climate change.
The Mayan calendar even kind of counts.
The Cold War, and people were, the Mayan calendar, 2012.
The Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
The Cold War Doomsday Clock, yeah, Y2K. I remember Y2K, we were out, I was out with my family watching the fireworks store and wondering if all the power was going to go out, if the world was going to end.
Could you imagine if Bitcoin was launched in like 1998?
They would have had a hard fork.
How many
talks of it? The Y2K fork.
Well, how many Twitter spaces would there be discussing the potential for Bitcoin to be shut down because of Y2K?
There would have been a lot of game theory discussed in those spaces. Well, they're going to have their own Y2K moment in like 100 years or something like that, because the Unix time like rolls over to the 1970s. So they go to fork to a new time stamping. They go wherever. I don't know the specifics. I think the answer is they already have the answer to it. They just have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, the danger of pleb slop at the end of the day, ultimately, is it has gravity behind it. And it'll suck you in. And if you immerse yourself, if literally the only thing you consume, even if you're like a pretty rational person, it's just like the inputs will affect the output at the end of the day. What you consume,
it's like seed oils. And it's like seed oils.
It's why I hang out in the intellectual Silk Road. Because I don't want to be consumed by the PodConf pleb slop. It'll get you. It doesn't matter how strong you are. You will succumb to the gravity of pleb slop eventually.
And you won't even notice it. It won't be like you wake up one day and you're consumed in pleb slop. It's a slow, slippery slope. And it's like your pancreas. You But you put too much sugar and junk food in your body, you get insulin resistance and you get blood clot resistance.
I think the person that resists that ultimately at the end of the day, they just don't feel good. They don't feel good with the trade-offs of creating the pleb slop. Like they'd rather face the hard path before, because it's just so debilitating to them.
And they're not even bullish. It doesn't even make them bullish. It just makes them grumpy.
Yeah. It just makes them feel sick. You know, those people won't last very long. I think you see this happen over and over again. Every cycle is you see somebody go on the PodConf circuit, and then they just fall off. Like they're the hottest thing on the block. They go on everybody's podcast within a 3-month period. You remember that, what was that guy's name? Laser Hoddle or something like that.
He is super hella active on Noster now, but yeah, he burned out. That was him and, Jay Weatherman. Jay Weatherman's had to spy out and had to restart a few times, but there's no keeping that guy away. But him and Laser Hoddle used to be on like the fieriest rampage, on Bitcoin Twitter back in like 21, 22, Texas Slim. Yeah.
American Hoddle kind of had this moment. He's having a little bit of resurgence, but I think he got pretty tired of it.
Stetsky.
I don't know if Stetsky got tired of it or if people got tired of him.
Breedlove, he's weathered a lot of controversy.
Well, Breedlove is the example of somebody who sticks with it. You know what I mean? They're willing to dish the pleb slop no matter what the cost is.
I mean, Breedlove started in 2021 on Clubhouse with Elon Musk and Eric Weinstein in a debate about Bitcoin. Now Breedlove is interviewing Justin Bechtler with his co-host Eric V. Stacks. Like his career trajectory is it's just all up, straight up. Straight to higher signal.
So I think the boomers are going to get robbed. This is part, one of the reasons why you want gold to pump. Is because you want the base boomers to be able to retire and not...
The boomers, they don't stay up late at night. They are ready when Asia decides not to send it anymore. And Asia starts to send it down, send the crash. When the Japanese are like, all right, we'll do yield curve control even harder. And they send the gold price plunging. The boomers won't even find out. Boomers will be asleep when the Asian markets open.
Yeah, so the people that were banking on the entitlements, let's be honest here. They weren't paying attention. They weren't contributing a whole lot. The people that banked on that as being their retirement. These people that worked for the government their whole lives and expected a government pension, the people that like had Social Security as like their retirement plan. But you don't want the based boomers getting fucked in this scenario when the Social Security rug pull comes. You want the based in the Medicare too. You want the guys that have like 50 guns, the ones that have been hodling fully automatics, machine guns since before this assault ban. The guys that have like 100,000 bullets of every caliber. The people that are stacking bars of gold. The people that were listening to Bill Cooper back in the day. We want those guys doing well in retirement. Because that's the modern day 40-hour per week Bitcoin podcast listener. They're the old school version of that.
Yeah, you want to be in a cabin with a guy who has buck antlers all over the walls. Carhartt.
Yeah. the old school pioneer. Some of these guys might have been in militia groups back in the day before the FBI completely tore them apart.
You don't want to be siding with the boomers who are riding their bicycles naked down the street. You want to be with the boomers with the extra pool, with the timeshare on the mountainside.
This is the exciting thing that Bitcoin saves us from, is having to join a right-wing militia group. We don't have to do that anymore because we have Bitcoin.
Right. We don't have to go to Idaho and up into the mountains where even the Starlink internet is kind of spotty. Like, we want to be, we can still stay where we can draw on spaces and warning and listen to Dark Side and Joe Carl Lazar go at it about the macro outlook.
Yeah. Bitcoin's like the digital killdozer in a lot of ways. It's like a killdozer on the financial system. So instead of having to go spend 6 months renovating an old tractor just to be able to spend a couple hour rampage knocking over government buildings, you can start using Bitcoin.
I know, and old people just don't have that. Old people just don't have that escape valve, that digital sovereignty. They got to carry their big old heavy bags up to the mountains in Idaho in the middle of winter, surrounded by feds.
They could, though. That's the thing, but they won't. And this is how you do it as a gold bug boomer, is you got your gold, and you think of gold as like on-chain Bitcoin. You got your bullion sitting somewhere in your house, right? Most of the plebs aren't smart enough to secure their Bitcoin anyways. If somebody, you know, comes and attacks them, they'll get their seed phrase taken. It's probably best in a lot of circumstances because it's probably less dangerous, but like the feds get you. They want to add to the strategic reserve, you know, whatever the scenario is. So I don't want to hear any arguments about the security. So the gold bugs, they got their gold sitting in their vault or, you know, buried in the backyard, however these boomers store their gold. And then they've got their bullets, and the bullets act as like the Lightning Network, where it's actually the transaction layer that people are doing small commerce in. And so, you know, Pablo Escobar had the phrase like, you know, lead or silver. In this case, it's kind of the same idea, except the bullet doesn't signify violence. It just signifies microtransactions. But it's kind of impractical to do this in a lot of ways, even though it makes a lot of sense. Like, if you just price things at bullets, it's a way better measurement than a value than the dollar.
What advice do you have to people who are sitting on some pretty heavy silver bags or paper silver bags right now? Do you think they should hold on to that? Or do you think that they should pivot into gold or Bitcoin or Tether gold?
I think, owning silver right now is kind of like owning Ethereum. Like, sure, it'll pump, but it won't pump as much. This has been the case over and over again. I think, you know, or it's like holding, you know, how well did the Litecoin narrative of Litecoin being silver to Bitcoin's gold, like, how long did that last? Like, that's the same exact thing as silver. This has been the case, you know, if you read any of these Bitcoin books, they'll talk about the gold standard versus the silver standard and how all the silver standard countries got fucked and eaten alive by the gold standard countries. Like, it's just, this has been a bad trade for a long time. So it's kind of retarded. So silver, so the gold bugs should be shitting on the silver bugs and calling them shit coiners. Is what should happen. They should be upset at the silver people for sucking liquidity. The people that are promoting silver, they're promoting scams. The paper silver people, they need to be attacking the paper silver people. Ghost of Dick Whitman. Who's the gold version of Ghost of Dick Whitman? He better be shitting on silver every
day. That's a thing. They're a lot. They're very tolerant over there. They've been very tolerant of the other precious metals, the other industrial metals. It's kind of like a big commodity community. But I don't know. There might be a few gold maxis.
There needs to be a clear gold maximalist community.
They like a Corey Clipston of gold, to warn everybody to call out to the silver mining scams and all those things.
Definitely important. Yeah. We need gold maximalist conferences and podcasts and merchandise.
They have a lot of work to do if they want to catch up. That's what we're saying.
Is Peter Schiff, he's not hardly as wealthy as Michael Saylor, but would he be considered like gold's version of Michael Saylor these days, you think? Is he the biggest gold influencer?
He could be, but he seems to be just routed on Bitcoin podcast instead of gold podcast. And I kind of look at him more like gold's defense attorney. Like right now, gold is on trial. Boomers are looking at it. They're like, oh, if Bitcoin seems to outperform here. The younger generations are looking at it. The media institutions are looking at gold and they're like, is this really is or is it Bitcoin? And so gold is on trial. And Peter Schiff is he's like Johnny Cochran. He is never, ever, ever going to admit that if there's anything wrong and that Bitcoin's better than gold is inferior. He's going to basically do a sea lion. He's just going to constantly, he just defend his client in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. Would you say that using bullets as like a payment mechanism, like you go to your rancher, you buy a half cow from them in bullets instead of gold, is that kind of more like using Monero? Or would you say that's like the Lightning Network? Or is it like using USDT on Liquid?
It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I think it's really important to balance the channels if you're going to use bullets and ammo as a bar tap to keep tap, because if one side gets too many, the liquidity becomes imbalanced. One side has all the bullets. Well, then you're kind of at their mercy.
Well, it's the same thing as Bitcoin, because when you're going around and you're paying people Bitcoin, you don't want to pay retarded communists Bitcoin, because you don't want them to have more Bitcoin than your guys. So when you're going and you're spending your Bitcoin, you're spending it with people that you want to have Bitcoin. And it's the same thing with the bullets. When you're spending bullets, you're wanting to spend with people that you want to have bullets at the end of the day. And this is one of the crazy things about the change of incentive structure when you're dealing with a scarce item and spending a scarce item that increases in value.
You want to, it's like leaving your equipment in Afghanistan. If you're the United States, when you pull out, you're leaving your sats with the party that who will be the best steward of it and use it to control the situation in a community.
Yeah. The CIA has been trying to do this for a very long time.
They just want to make sure the resources are properly allocated.
Did we shout out Kim Jong-un last week?
No, we should do it every week though.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout out to my boy, Kim Jong-un. He's the OG Bitcoin president. He was the first visionary leader. And this is kind of one of the powers of the Juche ideology that the great leader proclaims is. It is about self-sovereignty. So when he saw Bitcoin, it clicked. He gets it. He's North Korea living on a Bitcoin standard. Shout out to the fearless leader. Shout out to North Korea. Congratulations on expanding your Bitcoin stack. Really bullish. I hope that David Bailey will invite you to a conference to speak someday.
We should be on social media under you could use the handle Chooch Hodl.
That's a great idea. We need the North Korean plebs on the roster. But I think like the part of the base nature of Kim Jong-un is he realizes how retarded the plebs are, and he's not going to let his North Koreans, which he has turned into pioneers through some pretty brutal methods, I would say. He's kind of a trial by fire guy, you know, for his people.
Kim's to help lower people's time preference. We'll see if that is the right way to go about it. I don't know. Did you watch any of the live stream of the Canadian Club Swap Conference?
I did. The one talk that I watched a little bit of Nico and Tomer. And those guys hurt me a little bit when I listened to them. So I felt a little bit of pain. And I made sure to tune in when Fundamentals was on with Larry Leppard.
What was that discussion all about? How would you describe... Did Fundamentals give it to Larry?
No, what was interesting is Fundamentals actually read his book. And I think this is very unusual behavior for a panel moderator to have any familiarity with the people that they're interviewing or talking with. Generally what happens, or I guess you would consider this a fireside chat. That's what the PodConf calls these. But generally what happens is that they'll like listen to like one podcast and like have a conversation with them before. But, you know, most of these people that are interviewing people on stage for these events, they're too busy listening to themselves talk to spend the time. And, you know, that's what they want to be on there for, is to hear them moderating a panel is not their opportunity to ask really interesting questions that they're informed on. It's their opportunity to hear themselves talk and sound smart as they ask questions. And so Fundamentals was kind of unusual in his interview, where he actually understood the subject matter that they were discussing. And so he asked Larry some questions that I think were a bit more informed. So that's what I saw from it. Now,
you'd say that was more worthy of listening, checking out that clip, than watching Tomer.
Yeah, I don't. With Tomer and Nico, I think they were just recycling pleb slop, which is okay. We like recycling.
Yeah, I mean Tomer. I think Tomer is my favorite pleb slop poet. Thrummer's Plum Slot Poetry is, I think everybody should check it out. I think I've got his book in my house. I always let people read it who are interested. I think they'd enjoy it. I enjoy it.
I mean, everybody has their different flavor that they prefer, right? Do they prefer like the alpha Plum Slot from Breedlove? Do they prefer, like, he's kind of like the Bitcoin version of Andrew Tate in some ways. Him and Svetsky. They're trying to be the Bitcoin versions of Andrew Tate. Tomer's kind of like the Rogan-esque, likes to talk about psychedelics or show off that he's into psychedelics. He's definitely not, but Rogan's definitely pleb slop, but he's kind of like elegant. He's pleb slop for like the average laid back person, I would say.
Yeah. Pleb slop for, Rogan's like pleb slop for Gen X. I guess Tomer is kind of he's good pleb slop for Gen X. Like if you like Rogan, he's Rogan adjacent to like the guy that does the DMT guy. He passed away.
Terrence McKenna.
Yeah, like Tomer's kind of like pleb slop Terrence McKenna in a way, mixed with Rogan. Tomer doesn't really have the MMA black belt credentials, so Rogan doesn't quite capture it for me.
Yeah, Rogan was the first like mainstream fiat PodConf podcaster that was into like the psychedelics. That was the
program.
It's a super oversimple. If Tomer's listening to this, he's probably so proud of himself Wow, I was compared to Plepslop Rogan.
Plepslop Rogan is, I mean, that it is a, that's a pretty big title. I mean, that's impressive. It's maybe sounds pejorative, but it'd be a very successful career trajectory.
Yeah, but I don't care. Like the thing is, if you're mediocre and you're uninteresting, even if the whole world is watching you, you're still mediocre and uninteresting. It doesn't change that fact.
But if you're mediocre and uninteresting, you can still have a really successful career. You don't have to be ashamed of being mediocre and uninteresting. You don't have to be ashamed of it.
Well, you just think of like the two largest grossing movies in recent history that I can think of that were like all-time records. It was the Avengers movie, and then it was Avatar, the original Avatar by James Cameron with the blue people. Remember how everybody freaked out about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not an intergenerational movie. That's not like the Titanic. Like the Titanic was the ultimate plebslop that like broke the world. It was like the biggest thing in the world. Everybody was singing My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Well, this is where I think I'm fracturing from your perspective and a lot of our listeners. I'm fully aware of what plebslop is. And I'm saying it's okay to enjoy a little plebslop. Not everything has to be a masterpiece. You can have some good old-fashioned blockbuster plebslop. And you can listen to your favorite plebslop podcaster and like still like learn. You know, you can still learn to make your bed. You can still learn to have a little discipline in your life and to work hard and to work out. It should not be illegal to be plebslop. It should not be looked down upon necessarily.
I'm not saying that.
Going to be beautiful plebslop.
I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that there are masterpieces of plebslop. There's plebslop that people look at Top Gun. How many times have you watched Top Gun in your life? I've seen it at least five times.
Plebslop doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be interesting. It doesn't have to be anything other than mediocre. It can still make you cry. It can still make you pump your fist and feel patriotic.
No, you can do mediocre really well.
And hell yeah.
Top Gun, The Titanic.
Friends,
yeah. There's these movies that have defined, you know, these eras, either years or multiple years, but
Armageddon. But
Kenny Loggins, as far as music goes, he's like Toby Keith. He's plebslop. The Rocky movies, total plebslop. Creed.
We already mentioned Creed. The Beatles.
This is plebslop done well. You can do something sloppy and mediocre, but do it super well and make it interesting. What I'm saying is Tomer is not that. He might have a lot of eyes on him, but he is not the Titanic. He's more like Avatar. Big in the moment, not relevant historically. Now the Sailor series, that was like the Titanic moment. People will go back and they'll go gobble up that slop historically. That's relevant plebslop. Now Tomer is just recycling ideas that were said.
There could be plebslop masterpiece like Sublime, and then like, but Tomer would be more like who's like the reggae rapper group?
Bob Marley.
Now hold on, let me look it up real quick. Slightly Stupid. So it's like you're either Sublime masterpiece plebslop or your Tomer who's like Slightly Stupid, you know what I mean? It's like if you were in Boulder, Colorado in 2004 and you had dreadlocks and you're smoking some illegal weed and boy, you know, in the park in Boulder, and like Talmer was like was reading his poetry to you on a blanket. Like it would just hit so hard. But now I think it hasn't aged well for somebody playing Oasis on their acoustic guitar at a party in 2025, unironically.
Yeah, I think probably what makes good pleb slop is like a deep understanding of it underneath it. But a huge part of it too is just timing and presentation.
Knowing a lot about the plug slot culture is the best way to contribute to it.
Okay, so here's kind of my final question. You know, I want to discuss before we get into the fountain booze. Is there a first mover advantage to dish and pleb slop, or is there a second mover when you steal somebody else? You're just a curator of all the good ideas.
I think it's probably best to be like a really attuned in momentum trader. You can trade the flow of pleb slop as it's going in and out at a macro level, and you follow those flows. You can trade the momentum.
Is that what it's like AI?
Yeah, but it's like AI. Like, there's everybody's got a new model coming out, but yours just needs to be, you know, the first mover doesn't matter as much. I think maybe it's the one that gets the most engagement. You can get the most engagement.
So Dan Held is a winner in all of those.
Yeah, exactly. Pete Rizzo, for sure.
It's where I want to give Nico props, is Nico has mastered that.
Yeah, Nico's like the Paul Tudor Jones of pleb slop.
He taught Swan how to pleb slop. That's one of his roles in history. That was an impressive thing to do.
And who has more copycats? Who has more people who are, their pleb slop is influenced by simply Bitcoin? It's like the whole pleb slop industry. He influences all of it.
Yeah. There's some power brokers in the industry. There's P. Rizzo. There's Nico. There's that Luke Mitchich guy.
It's like the pleb slop baron. It's like Nico's like the John Rockefeller of pleb slop.
I feel like the blonde streak in your hair, it's kind of like having a Rolex watch in the pleb slop world. I think that's what they're doing. They're just signaling it for everybody. Like, yeah, we're fucking power brokers. We own this shit. You see that trend? You see that trend? I was the one who made that happen. I'm the reason why Marty Bent's doing open mouth thumbnails right now.
It's mark of a pioneer on the frontier of pleb slop.
Yeah. It's like having the really nice Jordans in the hood, you know? It's like, oh, you want to know where your mom's buying crack rocks from? This guy, bitch. Alrighty. On to the fountain booze. Enoch 616, 10,000 sat, says, this episode made me question my existence. Was that your intention, Rod?
It depends, you know. It's, if you're a new listener on the journey, some of these individual episodes are going to make you question your existence or make you question reality. But I think if you listen to 40 hours per week and you stick with it, we're actually helping you put the pieces back together to make sense of reality.
Yeah. I kind of have this thing that happens frequently where I get shocked where somebody says they don't understand what we're talking about. Cause I feel like most of the things we talk about are pretty self-evident if you're paying attention.
The truth can sound weird, but it's just because you might not have been paying very close attention. You might not have noticed as many things as we have along the way. Because there's a lot of things that we notice that we take for granted, I think. You know what I mean?
Well, this is why journalists lead the charges, because their job is to notice, literally. It's their profession. They're professional noticers at the end of the day. That's what a journalist is.
That's right.
I don't know if that's like a good or positive thing, questioning your existence after listening to Bitcoin podcast. I mean, I think it's probably a healthy process, you know. It can lead or generally is a sign of self-awareness if you're even willing or able to do that. If you're willing to critically think about your mental models. If you're willing to admit that stock to flow is not an accurate model or Bitcoin power law. Or
yeah, all your models are broken. When all your models are broken, you have to question your existence, and it's very time to listen to podcasts. Thank you, Enoch. Next is a 6,006 sats from a late stage HODL. Missed a boost last week and apparently the week before. And I was traveling my sister's wedding and definitely missed my 40 hours per week last week. I saw the real person wearing a Zeus wallet t-shirt. Stopped and pointed and said, "Hey, Zeus," or "Hey, Zeus wallet." And he just ignored me. My vibes were pretty low after being ignored in real life. I just put my head down, put my headphones back on, and caught up with 80 hours per week this week. Well, glad to have you back, late stage. Might have to tap the talk with Evan about people wearing his t-shirts being a poor representative of Bitcoin in public.
That's an interesting experience. I wonder why. I feel like most people that wear Bitcoin stuff, all they want to do is talk to people about Bitcoin.
Zeus wallet people, maybe they're kind of elitist.
Yeah, if you saw a guy wearing a wall of Satoshi shirt, you know that they'd want to just slobber all over you.
That's like wearing a superhero t-shirt in public as a middle-aged man.
So, yeah, I mean, okay, you wear a Zeus shirt, you wear like a samurai wallet shirt. Is that another one where you don't like to talk to people in public?
If you're wearing a non-custodial Lightning wallet t-shirt, you're letting people know that you're probably a little bit grumpy because your easier experience is so hard to get to work. But Zeus wallet has such great graphics, you'd think they'd just be in a better mood.
Yeah, it's all really interesting. Well, if I ever see you in public, I'm wearing a Zeus shirt, I'll make sure to say hi to you, late stage HODL. Really appreciate you. Bubba, 5,000 sats. Why the fuck does anyone care what piece of fuck shitcoin someone else buys? I love shitcoins. They are the market, right? Without them, Bitcoin wouldn't mean as much or look as good. Shop at Walmart, Amazon, Kroger, Public, or Piggly Wiggly. Why do I care? And if you do care, slap your pee-pee. None of it matters. Jesus, when you get older, you will realize you wasted so much of your fucking time. You'll realize you do not matter to anybody or anyone. Get a life while you can. Stop being a gay fuck. By the way, Gloria is hotter than olive oil. God damn, I just can't understand the world. And I ain't going to try. Wasn't the TV show Popeye named Olive Oil? Is that what he's talking about?
I think Bob is saying Gloria is hotter than Olive Oil. But curious that he did not say that she was hotter than Betty Boop. Because people Bubba's age, guys who rode motorcycles, truckers, they all love Betty Boop. They love Betty Boop posters and Betty Boop tattoos. I'm curious if he thinks that she's hotter than Betty Boop.
You know why there's so many furries in the younger generation?
Because they didn't have a Betty Boop?
They grew up on Hello Kitty instead of Betty Boop. Like the Hello Kitty filled the void for them. We need a modern day pinup girl.
We need an orange pill Betty Boop.
This might piss off Bubba, but would you say that Taylor Swift is the closest equivalent to Betty Boop that we have today?
Who could be this generation's Betty Boop, I guess is the question. If not Taylor.
Ariana Grande tried, Lady Gaga tried. I think Taylor's the queen. She's the Betty Boop.
For, who's the American Eagle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Nazi tits. Sydney Sweeney.
She could be Betty Boop. I don't think Bubba would be mad about that.
The problem is the damage with Hello Kitty has been done. The furries are going to be like this for the rest of their lives. They're just miscalibrated at this point. I don't really know. These weird Christian people, they've been trying to like change people's sexuality or sexual preferences using all the like the gay conversion therapy. It doesn't seem to be very effective. Like I think the only thing you can do is you have to accept like sometimes there's casualties of this war. And these people, instead of growing up on Taylor Swift or Sydney Sweeney or Betty Boo, they grew up on Hello Kitty. And they're just going to be fucked for the rest of their life. What can you do? Damage has been done. You got to focus on the younger kids. You got to save the Zoomers. You got to parade those Nazi tits around the Zoomers and make sure they don't turn into furries.
It's major kids watch The Incredibles and see that mom with the big donk donk. Something, you know, the mom from Incredibles, she could be the new Betty Boop, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, this is like why, you know, to some degree you sexualize these different characters and stuff like that. I think the problem is sexualizing children. But yeah, I mean, you want these horny kids to be thinking that the Incredibles mom's ass is nice instead of thinking about Hello Kitty.
Harm reduction, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we talked about the rest of that stuff that Bubba talked about earlier in this episode and last. Yeah. But
yeah, thanks Bubba. Next one's Doom Satoshi, 2521 stats. Thank you for your time. One of my top two podcasts. Listening to 40 hours a week for a decade. You are outstanding. What is the other one of your top two podcasts? That's what I want to know.
I bet you it's Ungovernable Misfits. That's my guess.
Be good company.
They might be my number two. I try to listen to every episode that John's on. Next boost, OD40HPW 2100 Sat says, this is the news. Yeah, you betcha.
Tell them the truth. Odie is subversive, you know. Next one.
Odie, find me Odie and send me your music. I want to hear your music.
Says
musician in your bio.
Next is Orange Julius. Yeah, me too. Viking stuff. Orange Julius, 1337 sats. Healing words. Once again. Oh, yeah, I hope if you or somebody you know suffering from Plebslot psychosis, that you can use this episode as a starting point to heal.
Truth will set you free. I mean, where else do you hear people telling you to smoke cigarettes? It's like it's the fourth turning. Everything's all fucked up right now. All these people are going to get sick and die, like get cancers from the vaccines or whatever. Are they going to die of cardiac arrest because of Trump derangement syndrome? And people are telling you not to smoke cigarettes. That's healing in itself. Hey, one of those colleges came out with a study that showed that smoking 1 to 2 cigarettes a day was as therapeutic as going to therapy. Thanks, Orange Julius. Bubba, 1000 Sats says, fucking Rod, jinxing my hips. Fuck the hip replacement. I'll have the wife push me around in a wheelchair. Plus, I'll have a great excuse to sit on my ass all day. Bubba, have you seen the movie WALL-E?
I hope your hips stay fine, Bubba. Did not mean to jinx you. Next one, 888 sats from Pelican at 6. Club Slop Anthem is hilarious. Thanks for that. I'm tired of these podcasters having a hard stop, quote unquote, at the end. I mean, what do you really have anything that is more important to do than this? I hear you, Pelican. I hear you. The reality is I have another podcast. So sometimes, honestly, that's probably the only thing that is an excuse in this situation.
I think that's a pretty good excuse. Next boost, Rev Hoddle. 721 sat says, a good antidote for pleb stop is the local Bitcoin meetup. Ditch the plebs on the sloppy socials and join the pioneers on the local frontier. Can't find a meetup? Start one. You know, Rav Hanel, I think this is really depending on your location. Because if I know you're doing a lot of meetups in rural areas where the pioneers live, but you go to Orange County, California, you go to New York City, you go to some of these places, and the only people that show up to these meetups are plebslop. So I think it really is...
The meetings are a reflection of their local communities, you know, and Anaheim, California, Orlando, Florida. I mean, listen, you're at Disney World. That is like ground zero plebslop. It's likely that you're going to have to deal with plebslop there. You might have to start a subversive meetup, honestly. You might have to go to Bakersfield.
Yeah, Bakersfield, Joshua Tree. That would be an interesting one.
Yeah. Waco, Texas,
Waco, Texas would be a sick spot for a Bitcoin meetup.
Oh yeah.
Is that where Luke's going to go? He's going to start his,
no feds. Yeah, maybe. That's when his Sasha 500 sats. Part-time create pioneers create all-time highs create plebslop create hard times. Thank you. I knew there was something there, Sasha. Thank you for putting that one. Help re-articulate that one. I need to screenshot that and then post it on Twitter.
We'll send it. That's a great one. Yeah, Sasha's been all over our stuff recently. We got a new fan, I guess. It was exciting. Welcome to the intellectual Silk Road, Sasha. Shadrach, 323 sat, says, spoon fed pleb slop. Strong arm emoji. Hashtag 40 HPW. So I thought this was really funny this week. I got a video sent to me by Shadrach, or he tagged me on Noster. And he opened, I launched a new album. I released it last week. And he sent me a video of him opening up his talk to this really heavy dubstep song at a Noster event. I thought it was very, very funny and great. So I appreciate that, Shadrach.
Love Shadrach. Hell yeah. Next one, 121 sats, pies, salute, flex, mushroom emoji. Thank you, Pies.
Hell yeah, Pies. BTC on board, 100 sats. Salute emoji, two thumbs ups.
Pyro Hawk, 100 sats. Hard forks, creep. Pioneers create vibe code. Vibe code creeps, plub slop. Plub slop creates hard forks. That's another take on it. Barb Pyro Hawk.
Do you think that's Derek Ross's alt account?
From IMD.
All right, Dave's looking for a discussion here. It sounds like 100 sats says, hey Dick, Gloria Zhao is hot. Mr. Hoddle is doing the Lord's work educating Nazi zero knowledge plebs on Twitter Spaces. He was also the pioneer brain behind Shinobi's podcast, The Block Digest, in 2017. Build the pioneer bridges you want to see. Shaking hands.
And Dave is also, so you were asked him, what does GZIH stand for? I mean, he was posting acronyms last week, and that's what it stands for. Gloria Zhao is hot.
Wow. I can't believe I missed that. That should have been pretty self-evident. Sometimes you ever have those moments where you're looking for your glasses and they're on your head. That was probably one of those moments for me. You're looking for your lighter. It's in your pocket. Looking for your pack of cigarettes just rolled up in your short sleeve t-shirt sleeve. I have those moments every once in a while. On Mr. Hoddle, he may have done cool things. Just pointing, this is like saying that he was a part of a podcast in 2017 is the same as saying that Luke saved Bitcoin three times, so therefore his opinion is correct today. It's the same line of thinking. When you rest on your credentials or you veer off into the weeds, and what Mr. Hoddle does is he goes and he decries the hard work of Bitcoin podcasters. He tries to minimize the impact that they've had on the world. And what he's doing is he's not educating zero knowledge plebs. What he's doing is he's arguing with sea lions. And the zero knowledge plebs are listening to the arguments between him and sea lions, and they're siding with the sea lions. Like, why does Tomer, you know, have any relevancy right now? It's because he can go and he can sea lion with Mr. Hoddle and Shinobi. And the zero knowledge plebs that have already been converted and have their opinions made up by mechanic. Like, one of the problems with if you have no knowledge on a topic and you have a really strong opinion on it, you're not going to get your opinion changed unless you get kicked in the nuts. Almost always. That's where these guys are at. And so having, like, thinking that you're sitting there and you're explaining these basic concepts to people and you're trying to explain to them that the house is on fire or is not on fire is a productive activity. You're not changing any opinions. All that people are seeing when they're watching the dialogue happen over and over again and get recycled over and over again, like Mr. Hoddle's doing on Twitter Spaces every day, him and Wicked, is they're reinforcing it in a lot of ways. Entertaining the sea lions reinforces the zero plebs, zero knowledge plebs opinions. Because what a lot of these guys will do, if this stops being a relevant topic that everybody's all wound up about all the time, they're just going to forget about it. They're going to look at their start nine node, their nonce node that they've never used once. They might breathe a breath of fresh air and say, wow, I'm decentralizing the network by plugging that thing into my internet and never looking at it or using it. But that might be the extent. The crusade kind of loses its power in a lot of degrees. But yeah, anyways, you know, if Mr. Hoddle wanted to do something productive, he could start a Bitcoin podcast, or at least he could have some respect for the people that are actually doing productive things with their time.
Next one is 100 sats and BTC on board. Plebsop psychosis is unconsciously holding so many back from achieving their potential. Sad. I agree. That's a good way to put it.
Hell yeah. Well, that's the boost for this episode. We got a new, got a couple new, subscribers. I want to shout out these guys. Avi, Open Mike, Shadrach, Turkey, Late Stage Hoddle, Sean, Southside Dave, Fundamental, Sasha Hodder, Rob Hamilton, and Silas Thornbrook. Appreciate you guys. We're getting some... we're trying to just put out more paid content. Heard some really good feedback about your episode with Mars. I think some people got a little bit triggered by the Crater intro and the Goomba episode, though.
Yeah, I think you definitely checked out those two. Mars is a clinic on group chats. So if you're interested in group chats, check that one out.
I put out a rant. I was feeling really, really good when I finished that Doomsday's DJ song. So I ran about the end of the world. We got the Rod Palmer job interview out there. I did an early release of my electronic album, but that doesn't matter now because it's out there. We've got, I don't know, let me know, guys, if you would like to see early releases of songs that we think are bangers on Fountain. If that's something you're interested in, let us know. And I could do that more consistently. But if you don't care, we'll focus on other things. But yeah, you got any closing thoughts before we wrap this one up, Ron?
Just remember, you can't reason with Pub Slop.
I want to thank you guys for listening to this edition of the Beagle Weekly. It's the fourth turn in. Things are going to be tough. Find somebody you love and just give them a hug. Look them in the eyes Let them know how much you appreciate them and like really be genuine about it. Take a moment before you go and do this and like gather yourself for a minute. Get emotional. Get emotional about how much you appreciate this person. Go look them in the eyes and really let them know. But only do that with somebody that's worth the time. If they suck, don't fucking pretend. But yeah, find somebody you love, give them a hug, let them know you appreciate them, because we're gonna need a lot of hugs. It's the fourth tournament. Hard times make hard men. Doesn't mean hard men don't need hugs too. But folks, we'll catch you on the next episode next week.
A man stands silently looking across the rolling plains. The storm clouds are rolling in. The wilderness is his domain. He'd rather risk danger than be trapped in the routine. His freedom is more valuable than being part of the machine. He set off to the unknown because he had to find his way. The expectations of others was making his heart decay. The echoes of the past remind him why he made his choice. If you let others speak for you, you will never have a voice. The storm clouds are rolling in, and danger is near. But the pioneer chooses to embark out on the frontier. Some want safety, but he won't live in chains. He's burned all the bridges. No compromise remains. Death is round the corner, but for him it's not today. The struggle brings him purpose. He won't be led astray. His path is uncharted because he holds the pen. Writing his own story, his destiny is his friend. He set off to the unknown because he had to find his way. The expectations of others was making his heart decay. A man with a vision doesn't fixate on the past. He enjoys every moment, knowing that it won't last.